if you are old enough to have ever experienced an Elvis Presley concert, it always ended with the announcement, "The king has left the building." Well, the king has left our country. And that was quite a sight yesterday. And you heard it here live on 980 CJME, the speech from the throne, to have the prime ministers of Canada all gathered around there, members of parliament, the justice of the Supreme Court. It was quite the sight. And the king, as you heard there from Kevin Martella briefly, messaged President Trump in his own royal way.
"As the anthem reminds us, the true north is indeed strong and free."
And that was pretty much a clear overarching theme, right? The power of Canadian unity in the wake of attacks from Trump. And I thought, too, it was just amazing to see the sheer volume of crowds outside of Parliament who turned out to see the king. It proves that the monarchy, although many mock it, there are just as many, if not more, who clearly think it matters still. And a lot of Canadians showed up to watch outside of Parliament yesterday, too. So has Trump commented yet on what he has seen? Well, kind of. Using Truth Social, he said this, I'll read a little of it for you, that Canada very much wants to be part of the Golden Dome system, but it will cost $61 billion if they remain a separate but unequal nation, but will cost $0 if they become our cherished 51st state. There it is. Oh, and he even added, they're considering the offer. I'm like, we are? I know there was conversations, but considering the offer, I highly doubt that. It's Trump. He's a master of wanting to take over the conversation of the story, right? So he put that out late yesterday afternoon, hoping that everyone will be talking about him rather than the king, I'm sure. But there it is. It's back. Our cherished 51st state dig from Donald Trump. Happy anniversary to the Regina Farmers Market. 50 years in business. The market opens at 9 this morning in downtown Regina. That started way back in a very small event in 1975. And look how it's growing now. It's become a consistent, popular stroll on a Wednesday morning. If you work downtown, want a break from the office, stroll through the market. Or it's a weekend staple to visit now on a Saturday morning, which is, of course, now in Confederation Park at the Real District instead of downtown. Today it's downtown, but Saturday mornings it's always at the Real District now. But today, because of the 50th anniversary, they've got live music, more vendors, anniversary treats if you want to head down to help celebrate the 50th. So there's that choice. You know, well, you may not know, you can't get a hotel room in Regina right now. I'm serious. There are a couple major events, and the biggie of them all is what's happening over the Real District, and you may not even have a single clue of what this event is about. So that's why I'm here to tell you the Skills Canada National Competition is on with an opening ceremony today, but we've got visitors from coast to coast. And although it's opening ceremonies today, the competition really cranks up tomorrow and goes through Saturday. There are more than 500 of Canada's best students, and then apprentices, friends and family joining them as they showcase their skills across something like 40 different skill, trade, and technology competitions. That's on over at the Real District. It's been a massive setup. Behind the scenes, the Real staff and crew, they've been working tirelessly. This is a big event, like on Grey Cup proportions. That's why you can't find a hotel room. That and the other reason is coming this weekend, too, at the Real District. The big Subaru AAA Regina Spring Hockey Classic is also drawing a lot of out-of-towners to the Cooperator Center. In fact, the Real District already warning you that if you're parking this weekend at the Real District, remember, parking is at a premium. Expect delays going in and out of there, but John Fogerty there leading CCR Bad Moon Rising. He's 80 today. Happy birthday, Mr. Fogerty. And it is a nice sunny start to the day already. No haze from wildfire smoke, but we are on wildfire watch. And if you want the latest and most up-to-date information, follow CJMB.com. And, of course, keep it here throughout the day. Fire crews continue to fight that blaze which is ginormous now, north of Prince Albert. People living in the resort community of Candle Lake, they're so scared. They want to try and stop that wildfire burning about 20 clicks away by getting a buffer built or a fire break, if you will. However, the safety agency spokesperson, Marlo Pritchard, says not yet.
Really what it comes down to is that community right now is not an imminent threat.
He's not saying they're not going to try that, just not yet. And as of yesterday, 17 fires. Actually, as of this morning, now I look, 17 fires burning, 10 out of control. They say all of them caused by people, which is pretty sad. Both Regina and Saskatoon are taking in over 1,800 evacuees from Pelican Narrows. Well, I guess as they say in Edmonton, play La Bamba, baby.
They won three straight to host Dallas last year. They won three straight to put the Stars on the brink. The Oilers have a 3-1 series lead to the Western.
It is so loud at Rogers Place in Edmonton. You can barely hear Chris Guthrie there. But yeah, they won again. And this game early was all about special teams. Oilers would open up the scoring in the first on a power play, then in the second, Dallas on the power play.
Robertson for the slot scores! It's a power play goal for Jason Robertson.
Yeah, they tied it up, but 10 minutes later, the Oil would be on the power play, and they'd go ahead thanks to Corey Perry from a beauty pass by Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who's just been enormous for the Oilers. And Oilers would take that 2-1 lead into the third, and that's where they just put on a clinic defensively. They just shut down any opportunities the Stars were trying to go after. But Skinner as well, sensational. Stars would pull their goalie with 2.5 minutes left to play, but the Oilers win the draw on their own end and head to the empty net.
Off the faceoff in the Oilers' own puck.
Yeah, they add another empty net goal. 4-1 the final. Dallas can't beat Skinner. He continued to shine in making 28 saves. And he was actually, this was kind of funny, he was busy complimenting his teammates on the ice during an on-ice interview as the crowd's going nuts. And they're naming him second star because Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was first star. But Skinner just graciously kept on with the interview.
You can name every single guy. You can talk about every single guy and how hard they battle. Shows you our fan base how much they care, how much they love hockey. I mean, Edmonton is all oil. It's fun to play here.
Yeah. The chance of we want the cup.
We want the cup! We want the cup!
We're deafening during the third period. Having been as an Oiler fan to Rogers last year at that Game 6 when they were on the comeback to push Game 7, it's electric. And when you're at Edmonton, before and after a game, it's just madness. The whole city is just nothing but Oilers everywhere. But now they're one win away from returning to the Cup Final. The Oilers haven't lost a 3-1 series lead since 1980. They are 17-1 when leading 3-1. And I checked, what are the Dallas Stars in this situation? Oh, they're 0-16. That does not look good. Oilers did lose Zach Hyman, and he left the game. It's playoff hockey out there. Stars forward Heinz returned to the lineup after missing that game on Sunday where he was helped off the ice slash by Darnell Nurse to his foot. Well, last night early in the first, Bouchard is caught slashing him on the injured foot again as they head back to the bench during the play, and he got away with it. Then Marchment hits Hyman. Hyman is gone because it looks like a hand or arm injury. But the series has gotten nasty, and it was on full display last night, but that's playoff hockey. And if you're an Oiler fan, well, you're probably like me, hoping the Carolina Hurricanes win at home again tonight to keep those Panthers playing a little longer. The Canes down 3-1. Another must win tonight against Florida. That starts at 6 o'clock. Indeed it is. A beautiful day. Beautiful start to the day. Lots of blue sky and sunshine and headed towards 30 degrees by the weekend. It's going to be a warm one all week long and continue to be so on the weekend here too. Just played some U2 there, led by Bono. I don't know who on their bingo card had Bono taking a shot at Pierre Poilievre, but it happened Monday before the King's speech. He's promoting a forthcoming documentary, and he popped up on a global television morning show in Toronto praising Canadians for electing Mark Carney instead of Pierre.
And the whole world is in awe of what you've done. And thank you for getting together, putting all your politics aside, and not electing a populist, but actually a competence turns out to be the rarest thing on the planet these days, a numerate, thoughtful, intelligent leadership. So thank you.
Yeah, Bono. And the announcers didn't follow up on that, but he did offer another quip, like 51 reasons to love Canada, in reference to Trump always saying Canada's the 51st state. But yeah, didn't see that one coming from Bono there. But back to the King and his throne speech yesterday. You know, to me, I'm not a huge fan of the monarchy. And by that, I mean, I just perhaps don't care as much as so many do. But I loved seeing how many people really love the monarchy. I couldn't believe the size of crowds outside of Parliament. And then the speech to me was kind of dry. But I didn't think the King came off like a big brother trying to protect us either. It was more a sense of unity.
Canada can build new alliances and a new economy that serves all Canadians. The Prime Minister and the President of the United States, for example, have begun defining a new economic and security relationship between Canada and the United States, rooted in mutual respect and founded on common interests, to deliver transformational benefits for both sovereign nations.
In the speech, he promised tax cuts, building relationships with the U.S. and the rest of the world, joining Rearm Europe, accelerating infrastructure projects, interprovincial trade legislation by Canada Day. Pierre Poilievre, incidentally, reviewed the blueprint, saying this.
We did see a lot of the right slogans and political talking points, but no clear plans to get it done.
I think a lot of Canadians want more details, right? But not that we expected any legislation yesterday, but there's a lot of expectations now on how they say they will transform the economy. So grab some more popcorn, sit back and watch all this drama unfold. And one of the other things that caught a lot of attention yesterday, you guessed it, Justin Trudeau's shoes. casual footwear at the throne speech. It drew a lot of criticism from online fashion police, royal watchers. He wore sneakers from collegiate green-striped Adidas. Like, come on, Matt. At least you could have worn black Adidas. But
you're a rich girl, and you're going too far, because you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch.
980 CJME on Wildfire Watch. We're keeping our eye up north. You can get details throughout the day at CJME.com. And, of course, keep it here throughout. As we get details, we'll pass them on to you. But, yes, fire crews continue to fight that big blaze north of Prince Albert. Those who live in the resort community of Candle Lake really want to see a buffer or a fire break built in there yet. They're not doing that officially yet, but some locals might be taking it into their own hands. They're quite concerned. As of yesterday, 17 fires were burning, 10 out of control. They all were started by humans. But something like 1,800 evacuees from Pelican Narrows coming through Regina and Saskatoon in the meantime here, too. On the heels of yesterday's throne speech and the ongoing tariff war, we really didn't expect too much sway in the markets this morning, but there could be next week. That's when the Bank of Canada is set to announce whether or not they're going to offer another rate cut. They held their course last one, but financial expert Scott Bjornson from Living Sky Financial dropping in for a moment here. What's your opinion on the rate cut next Wednesday? They held off during the last one. What about this one, Scott?
Possible. One-third chance of cut so far, two-thirds chance of hold the course. So I guess we'll see. There won't be a lot of new numbers coming out between now and then. So, you know, we'll find out on Wednesday. Rate cut, of course, you know, this is not going to stay at these levels and could be cut. We've said another two, maybe three times this year. So 50 to 75 basis points more. But whether they do anything now or wait till later in the summer or fall, we'll have to see. It has a bigger impact on short-term floating rate credit, no real big impact on longer-term mortgage rates.
We're seeing a marked decrease in those who are going stateside right now. The dollar exchange has a lot to do with that. How do the markets reflect this current state of our dollar exchange?
Well, U.S. investments, obviously, when the Canadian dollar has been weaker, you know, go up in value. On the other hand, the Canadian dollar has actually fluctuated up a little bit better recently. I'm not saying we're jumping at it to convert to U.S. dollars yet, but I think the cost of going down to the States, because their cost of living has increased as well. You know, so everything's more expensive in the U.S. Add the exchange rate to it, and people are making some choices, I think. And I don't know that it's all political. I think some of it is just cost. People are a little tighter. We have higher costs in Canada, and I think people have to watch their spending more.
I've heard a few economists seem to forecast a possible recession in Canada. Is that a surprise to hear them say that, or what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, in the face of tariffs, you know, from the United States that are likely going to continue a little bit longer potentially for Canada and Mexico, the risk is that sectors of industrial and manufacturing in Ontario and Quebec get hit a little bit harder, and a mild recession is very likely, and a slowdown with more layoffs. And that's unfortunate, but I mean, it's part of cycles. It's just that I think Canada needs to focus on growth. Again, sometimes we just have to look for other markets and start to be more diversified.
You say hold the path, hold steady. What about your portfolio right now? How do you know it's healthy and what should be in it?
Well, I think reviewing it is important. I think, you know, realizing that most portfolios right now are not down significantly year to date. I mean, might be down from their high at the end of January, which was sort of an all-time high for most people. But, you know, we had a very good year last year in investments, and we can afford to have a little bit of variability this year. But this also isn't as big a movement as we've seen in you know, 2022 or 2020, 2018. You know, they're fairly typical. They keep happening, and that's why they tend to reverse correct direction. And when people try to time markets, they're slow or late or wrong most of the time. And things move too quickly. You know, the institutional investors love volatility, but the average retail investor or individuals really need to just hold the course.
Scott Bjornson, financial expert. Okay, so we just heard the throne speech. The effect of this new government isn't really going to reflect anything in our markets or our portfolio, really, is it?
Nothing yet. No, I mean, we've got to wait for action for anything. I mean, markets, you know, positive news is good, but on the other hand, you know, action is required for us to see, you know, improvements in the markets and in the economy as we go forward. And so that'll take time to see what's going to happen.
Sure. Hear a lot more about separation. Would that rock our boat, so to say, in investments?
Well, it obviously would if it got to a very serious nature, I mean, or serious discussion on it. But I think, you know, Western Canada, I think, you know, it's kind of rightfully feels a little bit ignored over the last decade. And I would hope that, you know, any government going forward starts to write that. And I guess that's what we have to see, because, you know, a lot of people out west sort of feel like, you know, we've kind of haven't had a fair deal. And you know, maybe that in part that's true. It does create a lot of a little bit of animosity. We'd rather see a country that isn't, you know, fractured as we go forward.
Scott Bjornson, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Have a great day.
Got some rider news coming at you. It's confirmed center Sean McEwen did tear that ACL in training camp. So Logan Ferland is expected to move to that spot. But on the plus side, Jermarcus Hardrick back from injury. He says he's trying to stay positive. The Riders hosting the Bombers in preseason play on Friday. And of course, season cranks up against Ottawa next week too. It's nice to have the CFL that much closer to us. Looking forward to a new season. It's 6:28.